Welcome to the mystical world we live in with Almeen. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Hello to you, my family of light. And it's just you and me today, and we have such exciting things that I think we should touch on today that I'm going to really like this hour in your company. Thank you for joining us, and as always, we ask you to tell your friends about our station and this particular program so that our numbers grow. It always makes these hours that we spend talking to you a lot more productive and a lot more viable if we know that it's benefiting more and more people. So please spread the word. So, my brothers and sisters, some of the things that we have been covering over the last two sessions of radio has included some of the events that have occurred during the Ascension. And so what I wanted to do is to cover some of the broader themes. We've gone into some interesting, fascinating stories, and they're more than stories because they give you an idea of the great things that are happening behind the scenes. Because humankind, Mother has gone to great, great lengths to make it that humankind does not get disturbed or in any way frightened by the situation of the Ascension. And so a lot of what's happening is like a duck paddling underneath the water, and you just see the little feet paddling, but you really don't have any idea how hard he's working because of the ease and grace with which on the surface life moves forward. And this has been done by Mother. I've been asked frequently, will a tsunami happen in my area? Will this or that happen in my area? My brothers and sisters, as you awaken to these very, very esoteric and high truths, you are becoming the way showers that are the total pivot points of humanity. When you are able to hang in there, and not only hang in there, but be interested in and thrive under the high level of information that's coming through these shows, you are becoming very major pivot points. What that means, fortunately, it means something that, you know, it was not meant before. It means that no longer do we have to be martyrs. The major way showers over eons of existence have had to be martyrs in that they used to process on behalf of the many on the planet and the few are taking the brunt of it. And our lives have been very, shall I say, not exactly carefree. So that has been severed by Mother. She felt that it was unfair that the few, because of enlightenment, would have to process through their bodies, through their lives, the unresolved issues of humanity. It was necessary for a while, but it's no longer necessary. So it doesn't mean that. But to become a way shower of great importance as you are, it does mean that you can change events like a tsunami in your area by changing yourself. And I believe I might have told this story on radio before, but there is this Ho'oponopono philosophy that is actually nothing more than what I've been teaching as the great band of compassion known as autonomy. And there's the story about the Hawaiian psychiatrist, I think he was, or psychologist perhaps, that went to the institution in Hawaii for the criminally insane. And when he arrived there, it was a horrible place to work. The staff was walking with their backs against the walls. The absentee rate was very high for staff because it was so stress-ridden. It was totally unsafe. They needed a large number of staff because of the fact that it just simply, there were too many of them absent at any given day. So he came and he said, I don't want to see the inmates. All I want you to do is bring me their case studies. Bring me their files. And each inmate, he would sit for time in his office studying their case history, and he would see what are they mirroring, what are the themes. And as he saw it, he would apply it to himself. He would find places in him that he did not love or did not forgive. Now, my brothers and sisters, I wish to take that a little further, because the mirrors that our fellow man give us are often that there are areas we have not forgiven or loved within ourselves, but there are actually other areas as well that somehow their philosophy didn't tap into, and or it didn't, and it wasn't mentioned in the story that my students read from one of a book. But you also pull in mirrors of what you judge. You pull in mirrors, very importantly, of what you yet have to learn. And you pull in mirrors of that which you've lost. People that have lost their innocence will pull in mirrors that show the loss of innocence. So it is what you are, what you have judged within yourself or your fellow man. Because normally when you judge something quite heavily outside of yourself, it's something about yourself you don't like. What you've given away, what you've yet to develop, or what you have to learn as your next insight. So he would get these insights, and he would change himself. Then with great gratitude, he would say, I thank you, in his heart to this inmate. He would say, I love you, I forgive you, to himself. And then the inmate would heal, but a layer of him would heal. Now it would reveal the next layer of dysfunction, because things are in multiple layers. You know, people simplistically think that one thing can prevent the cataclysms of 2012 or some such thing. My brothers and sisters, nothing's further than the truth. It has been prevented, but it was many, many thousands of layers of work that the Infinite Mother herself did. So, my brothers and sisters, the layer then that would expose itself in the inmate was then the next layer that he tackled within himself. And then he would do the same thing that he did before, and then yet again the inmate would change. Apparently they eventually had to close the institution. Everybody was released. They certainly at some point had to let some of the staff go, because nobody was staying home anymore, because it became a very pleasant place to work. And so in this way, we change what is out there by changing within. Now, it is true that we can change anything out there, even the economic situation. But the more your perception goes to the capstone and the tip of the pyramid, the more effect your inner overcomings have on the large picture. So that you can end up changing absolutely the world. Certainly, threatened possible tsunami in your area. Learn what it is saying. A tsunami says that there is emotion that wasn't properly dealt with, and when there is a big perceptional change, then the emotion comes flooding through. So, example. An earthquake can cause a tsunami. Earthquake is the release of old, dense patterns that should have been gently releasing, but didn't. And so it takes a more violent earthquake type release to release these old patterns. And then when suddenly, because perception and emotion, they're inseparably connected and they affect each other most profoundly, your higher perception will create more love, praise, and gratitude in your heart. It will create purer emotions. The purer your emotions, the greater your perception becomes. So a big perceptional change that's very overdue, because old stagnation and patterns have been in the way, creates an earthquake when it comes suddenly. Forced change. Forced perceptional change. And only then is there a flood of emotion that should have been felt step by step along the way. Well, how can you prevent that? You can prevent it by taking 10 minutes each night before you go to bed. We have given in the Ring of Truth, I believe it is, but most certainly it is in Secrets of the Hidden Realms, the interpretation of symbols in your environment. It's vital for us to become literate and in reading the mirrors of our environment. Most people are totally illiterate of what life is telling them. Yet they do book study, getting other people's world views, when a master has no world views. The earth just shows, and our environment just shows us each time our next step. And we're like children leading with the heart. That's mastery. Define yourself by what you're becoming. And so take time each night for deep, meaningful living. Watch where there was a ripple. Watch where there was a little hurt feeling. Or sometimes even inordinate joy can signal that more of this is needed. Or a very extraordinary satisfaction needs to be looked at very carefully, because it could mean, yes, I've just lived my highest truth. Or it could in fact mean that this is compensatory behavior. Let me give you an example of that. When, in my memories of being a little girl, there was a time when codependence began, and it was a very important moment. I was three. So at that moment, at the age of three, we were in Cape Town, and my mother had bought me a little red coat I was extremely proud of. I didn't have a great deal of clothes, and so for me to get a new item was a very big deal. I was very proud of my little red coat. And then she dressed me very warmly with a sweater. We went out for fireworks. It must have been, some sort of little firework display. And what happened is that there was a child that my mother was friends with, the mother, who had no coat and no sweater. So she said, oh, Almin will let her wear her coat. She's got a thick sweater on. No problem. She won't mind. Well, Almin minded very much. And I remember that night after the coat incident, I had a dream that I was sitting on the carpet with the other little girl. Her name was Mimi. I remember very well. And my father was rolling apples to us. And for every one apple he rolled to me, he would roll two to Mimi. And what the dream was trying to tell me, even as a little girl, was that somehow more importance were being attached to another child than to me. The codependent person does not take care of their own needs first. They take care of others, shortchanging themselves. And so the point of the matter is that when I adopted my wonderful little girl, when she was three, she had not just one red coat, she had three red coats. More coats than one little girl could use. But it made me feel so happy to see her in her little red coats. Why? Because I was saying to her, I value you. That's compensatory for something that happened a long time ago. That does not mean it's healthy. It means that there were insights that I had to get. So, my brothers and sisters, track each night where there are extraordinary feelings in the day, a ripple of irritation, anger, frustration. Get the insights of it. In Journey to the Heart of God, we walk you through the 9 steps to get and experience this insight. When you do that, you gain your perception bit by bit by bit every day. As the perception changes bit by bit, the emotion changes. But now you don't need to be kicked into it by life, 6 months down the road of 6 months ungained insights in one moment. And then, of course, there's a flood of tears or flood of information. That is the kind of thing that would produce a tsunami. You are the pivot points of the cosmos, because the earth is the pivot point of the cosmos, and amongst humanity, when you start to fly on the higher thermals like an eagle, my brothers and sisters, which is what this work is that we're doing together as we hold hands on our YouTube videos, on our iTunes videos, and on this radio station, you start to become a major player. And in doing it in your own life, you will ameliorate the elements around you, the oceans, the land masses, even the weather. So I also just want to point out that for those of you that study a book, we have another that isn't advertised. It's another video show where you can go in and get 6-minute video clips at a time. But it is for students. And it's not that the information is hidden. I'm very happy to share just about anything with you. The point is that I'm assuming that they have a familiarity with terms. I can't go too deeply. Every time I speak on the radio about an assemblage point, I have to explain what it is, what it does, and how it affects your life before I can even get to my point. So when you read the books, those terms are explained, you become familiar with it, and then there is what we call a hidden video channel that you just have to write to my office, and they'll give you the password, but we know that you're familiar with the terms. People say that's exclusive, but the problem is that when I do not make myself understandable, through the years I've begun to realize that people blame the teacher. So I'm assuming familiarity with the terms, and if one doesn't have it, you're going to think I'm a bad teacher. So for that reason alone, be aware that when you do read at least one book, that my office will give you that, and it's totally free of charge, as these radio stations are, as the YouTube and iTunes videos are. So we'll talk more about the subject, but let's first have our commercial break.
The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled, Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016. A Life in Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book. In its content, it is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back in our second segment. Let us discuss some of the events in the bigger scheme of things that occurred during the Ascension. Our last two shows, we've gone into some of the details. When I look back, my brothers and sisters, at 2005, a lot of what was done during 2005 went like this. Number one, there was the uniting of the kingdoms. It went in two ways. First of all, our elves had been captured by demons a long time ago, and they were actually, most of them, in the underworld. So they had to be set free, and we discussed this earlier. So did the fairy realms. They were also split. And so the uniting of kingdoms in that way had to be done. Most of the kingdoms were in realms above the earth. In other words, humanity. So humanity was maybe Middle Sea, and then, you know, if you take the 12 notes above Middle C to the next C, the black and the white notes, That was the overtones on the earthly dimension of life. Fairies were one layer up. Above that, you know, you'd find some of the smaller divas. And a diva, to just be exact with this, a diva is actually not from the fairy kingdom. They are from the less complex evolutionary levels of the angelic kingdom. So, for example, a mountain range may have an angel over it. An ocean would have a huge angel over it. Currently, instead of an earthly lord, we speak a lot about the Lord Horlet in some of my books. Lord Horlet has been replaced by a planetary angel. The planetary angels, my brothers and sisters, they're magnificent. If you can see them through a telescope, if you will, looking at the earth, they look a bit like a snail in that the earth is the shell on their back, but they fold around the earth, so to speak, and they're huge. So that is what a planetary angel looks like. The angels are over larger things, over rivers. Divas could be over your garden. You might have a divic being that's the garden diva. You will have a diva over a special portion of the river, over a specific little piece of the mountain, over a pond in the mountain with a waterfall. Divas are the lower angels. And then you get very highly evolved fairies. Some flowers, for some reason, do not have fairies. They have divas. But that's very rare. One such flower is the lotus flower. Another such flower is the rose. And I'm not sure exactly why it is, my brothers and sisters. I just know that I've been contacted by divas that are those flower divas. Normally, flowers have fairies, like an iris fairy, for example. So anyway, so these beings were above us like the notes on the piano going up the scale from middle C. We moved as humanity up into their realms until pulling the kingdoms with us, until eventually we were all the way at the top C. It's only then, when we had gone all the way up through the overtones, that there was a fourth dimensional humanity, if you will, because it went through the 12 overtones of the third dimension, we became fourth dimensional when we went an octave above where we had been. And so only then did the earth go through its splitting. I described it earlier in one of our programs as the egg's yolk and white being separated. It's both the egg, but they're now separated. The earth started to move, and instead of going the route that had been anticipated and, in fact, predicted by J.J. Hertag 30 years ago, very accurately then, Mother went the other way, where nobody expected, where the prophecies did not go. She took us over the edge of space on a pathway that she had prepared for us, and in a whole other way to get upwards because of the booby traps that had been laid along the way. Now, when we started to assimilate other cosmoses, as the cosmos started to ascend, and that really didn't happen until 2006, where we started assimilating other cosmoses. The strange thing that it was that life was so much sparser there. And perhaps it is because the majority of the beings fell. Perhaps it is that they never were created at that level, because as we descended lower and lower, diversity became more and more. So as we went up higher, encountering other realms that we assimilated, they were assimilated with very few beings in them. And I remember only one time in 2006 that we encountered another physical cosmos. But let's go back a bit. So the uniting of the kingdoms not only meant that split kingdoms were put back together, it meant that we all as kingdoms, dragons, fairies, angels, humans, we all ended up in the fourth dimension so that we could get ready to split with the fourth dimensional Earth. Earth herself didn't, you know, keep going into higher levels. We did. So when we were by the fourth dimension, her dream body, if you will, her fourth dimensional self was able to move out of the old self. It was like very much like a, let's just call it an out-of-body experience for the old Earth. Now, interestingly enough, when you get to the beings that we know very disrespectfully as Bigfoot or Sasquatch, there's many names for them in the native tribes, but they are, technically, they call themselves the Andazi. A-N-D-A-Z-I. The Andazi were very, very ancient inhabitants of the Earth. In fact, there was a time when man was in the center of the Earth only, where they were the only inhabitants on the surface. So, not understanding the full history of that, and that man preceded the emptying of the crust, if you will, because of cataclysms and went into the core, into the hollow Earth, the Andazi called themselves the original inhabitants. So, the Andazi, or those we know as Bigfoot, chose to stay behind with the Earth. Some of us chose to stay behind with that Earth. And we had some demons then. We still had Lucifer and his hosts on that Earth. And that is the time on the old Earth that the multiple cataclysms took place that we are familiar with in terms of the scallion prophecies and the flooding and the diseases and all those things that took place on the old Earth. So my brothers and sisters, do not be afraid when scientists tell you how we're running out of oxygen and we're this and that or the other. I mean, if we continue this ascension, we would simply be on a higher Earth. They're giving us a reality that may or may not be valid. I mean, these tests might have been done before 2005 when the Earth split. But they will give us test results of why the Earth is in trouble, but we would be ascending because we are still on a day-by-day-by-day basis in a grand cosmic purification and enlightenment. So we would be moving up yet again another scale, end up on a whole other sea, and we will be on a planet where those things are no longer applicable. So you can see that you should be very careful about what you read, and please don't make yourself a target, if you will, of the much disinformation that is being spread on purpose to create fear and confusion amongst light workers through the internet. And some of it is old information still being rehashed and recycled, and they may have been true at one point. But even scientific predictions cannot be true if day by day we are moving upwards. So anyway, at one point, and it was, let me see exactly when that was, it was in 2007, Mother sent me back to the old Earth. And that's when I encountered the way humans had become. And I've spoken about this before, that they had a very Neanderthal-like features. They were very coarse-looking. But they were very beautiful beings, and they lived very simplistically, very beautiful beings, earthlings. At that time, Mother had me go back. There were certain things that needed to be cleaned up, turn the key, and that Earth united with its out-of-body self. In other words, the old Earth joined us. The density of it was just unbelievable. It was like going back to hell. I couldn't believe we had been there in 2004. But for them, because time got shorter and shorter and shorter for us as we moved up higher, so, you know, what they had experienced as millions of years for us had been but a few years. And when they finally joined us, there was a problem with the joining. The Earth did not properly line up, and there was a very grating noise that could be heard in the etheric that pulled everybody out of the moment, you know, disturbed the innocence of the planet, And so on. Finally, we did get it, so it was properly aligned. But it was so discordant in spite of the fact that Mother had purified and healed that earth. Her trauma was so great that Mother actually dissolved the old earth, and we kept only the dream body, and we have been on her ever since. So, my brothers and sisters, the other thing that was done during the year 2005, in my life, certainly, the capacities to do things, the capacities to move through time and space, we still had time and space at that time, it grew dramatically. For example, you know, if I went from one place of the cosmos to the other, it would have taken me days and days and days. At the end of 2005, by 2006, it would take me 10 minutes to teleport myself where I needed to go. Abilities of languages, abilities with Mother gave me gifts constantly to be able to do the work that she wanted me to do. So my own abilities increased very hugely. So did the members of my classes. So the other thing during 2005 that was done is that we learned the themes. Example, let's say something is found to be obsolete in the cosmos. Mother wants to do away with it. She used to just dissolve it. It would dump its toxins, its density, into the cosmos. So now you're trying to dissolve, you're trying to get a clean pond of water, which is the cosmos. You have an icky lump floating in it. The key is not just to dissolve the lump. It still makes it dirty. So what had to be done, for example, is that it had to be purified, cleansed, upgraded, because density often means just something that didn't keep pace with progress, and healed. Only then could it be dissolved. Mother learned this the hard way after multiple times dissolving things and finding that she just was, it was like sweeping out a room that had dust blowing in the back door again. So themes like that, skill sets. Example, there were many, many, many gods, literally hundreds of thousands of gods of illusion that were supposed to be gods of light. They were created as gods of light, but they weren't, because the male grid for the gods itself was corrupt, because the top gods were imposters. They pretended to be the true god of truth, which they weren't. And because of Mother's forgetfulness, in order to create a small screen, so that a matrix, if you will, in which she could create her creations and refine them enough to bring them into a larger and larger and larger screen and make them more and more real. Because of Mother's forgetfulness, they stayed in higher levels, and they took great advantage of it. So we will take our break, and we will be right back.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Alva Spada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almine's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers a question: do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back. During those first years, there was a lot of protective devices learned. For example, there's a very refined substance that is called mother's blood, but it is a highly concentrated form of love that emits forth from mother. And it was called mother's blood, and it was found to be impenetrable by ill intent. And so as mother uncovered treachery upon treachery upon treachery, which is what 2005 was about, she had to learn how to deal with it. And this was one of the coping mechanisms that was learned, where she isolated the cosmos from other beings higher up. For example, in February of 2007, the dark gods were able to open a time tunnel to much, much, much higher levels where we would yet go to, where there actually was an underworld, so there were demons there. So the higher the level up, this is something that subsequently Mother had to fix, the higher the level up, the more power they had over the lower levels. And they called in, oh my gosh, I remember the day well, they called in something like 18 or 17 demons from levels far, 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 far ahead. They learned to open tunnels between these the levels at which we were and where we were going to be. And the demons came in, I was in class, and they stabbed me in the back between the ribs. The swelling was so great it pushed the ribs out of position. Huge mark on my back. I was in so much pain. It was one of the few times that I couldn't even teach a class. And they basically put my house under siege, that we couldn't leave the house. So very, very hard times. Mother learned how to protect the cosmos so nothing could enter. Then she learned how to protect timelines so that these tunnels couldn't be open to some extent. But as we progressed into 2006, actually, as we progressed into 2006, life revealed itself to be greater and greater and greater cycles. And this continued, I'll explain what I mean in just a second, but this continued all the way into February of 2008. Let me explain what I mean by that. Life was starting to show its face. In 2005, treachery showed its face. But in 2006, we started to see how large life was. It was very discouraging for me at the time because it felt like, how could we possibly clean this up? The cosmos was the only purified area, and yet the dark gods kept coming in from other areas that hadn't yet been purified. So it was like trying to carry water with a sieve. Until a major, major change in 2007, which we'll discuss. But what happened is that we uncovered that the big ascension-descension cycle that we had been on was one leaf of a four-leaf clover, that simultaneously there were similar cycles in which we all dwelt going on in other places. Again, the gods of illusion had learned how to bore timelines, if you will, between those petals. And when this was uncovered, And Mother actually sent me to get the history of the other three petals. When the history of the other three petals were examined, even those that seemed to be squeaky clean amongst some of the gods in our petal, with cycles, you know, descension, ascension, this loop we'd been in was just one petal. It was shown that in the other petals they had a huge agenda of rebellion against Mother, of control over life, and especially control over humanity because of their role as way showers. And when they came into this petal, then they pretended to be squeaky clean. This issue of splitting agendas was a very large theme for many years. Because Thoth, for instance, I worked side by side with Thoth. He appeared to be helping me with my work for Mother. He was in and out of the house. He stayed here for some time. We joked together. We laughed together. Thoth's self that was coming and going, that I wrote about in the books, was the squeaky clean. Now, I will tell you, I noted that he was very unstable. But he was certainly nothing that I could find that was unimpeccable. And he gave impeccable advice and so on. But he was separated, and his higher aspect, higher meaning more etheric, a note up on the piano. And humans must not make the mistake of regarding higher as better. So his higher aspect was an unbelievable, horrible, horrible manifestation of illusion and had done such ill deeds. But the low Thoth, pretending to be a guide for humankind, didn't show that. We had this on a larger scale, and the larger scale with the other three petals working through a squeaky clean persona in this petal, and Mother would look and look and look and find no fault with them and keep saving them and keep giving them second chances. She was then able to see. So a lot of these gods were done away with. But it was discovered that the four petals was only one of 12 massive strands of DNA. And as we were moving up, we had consolidated the other petals into us. As we were moving upwards, we encountered other parallel realities, some with four petals, and some had, I believe, I'm trying to remember now exactly how many they had. Some had four, and some had eight, and some had 12 petals. So there were other whole strands of realities going on. And in some instances, some of the dark gods had captured some piece of Mother or some aspect of Mother, one of the mirror images of Mother, because they are needed to hold open space, and had gone out of the DNA strand, if you will, in which we were, and created a pocket of space in which they had their own kingdom going, where they ruled the roost and, you know, held this aspect of Mother captive to keep the space open. So how does one clean that up? Well, it was discovered that this was nothing more than a reflection of Mother's DNA. And so if Mother cleaned up her own DNA, realities throughout the macrocosm, and we're talking about the macrocosm because it's outside of our cosmos, would change. This major difference was uncovered in 2007, and it's really the basis of the philosophy of autonomy, where you change yourself to change everything else. In Mother's case, it dealt with that which was physical, that she would change, and then everything else would change. Sometimes it was a perception of herself and so on. In our case, my brothers and sisters, what we started speaking of at the very beginning of the show, the Ho'oponopono, as they call it, we call it autonomy, is the way of the one heart. You hook into the fact that all hearts are in unity. They're in one consciousness. And so you change your heart, you're changing someone else's heart. And so circumstances change. So it's very much that principle that bailed us out of this sieve carrying water, never-ending story. But that did not come until 2000. 2007. By 2008, we had completed a huge, huge cycle. A very important part of it happened in 2007 when it was uncovered that part of the fact that addiction kept rearing its head everywhere. Addiction reared its head because mother had a non-preventable, for the moment, obsession with creation. Creation was made externally to mother's physical form. As such, she could not take her attention off it for 1 second. If she did, it would go away, and then she'd have to start forming it all over again. Only in 2007, in October, we went from mother's outer space to her inner space, and she collapsed space as a concept altogether. But in 2008, it was uncovered what it was that basically closed as a massive cycle in 2007. Because a whole cycle closed, huge one with all of these things that I've been speaking of in it, and we entered the cycle of inner space. I will explain those cycles to you in a little bit. Let's take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today. Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces her readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back. A most amazing discovery was made at the beginning of 2008 regarding these massive cycles of which we have spoken. My brothers and sisters, imagine for a moment that there is an earth that is the original earth that's created. And on it, mother leaves one of her aspects. Now, the aspects were later done away with when space collapsed because their task was, like I've explained, somebody standing between two mirrors, making a space open in the mirrors for life to take place in. But mother entered into the mirror. So she actually left the place where that original image created the images in the mirrors. So father stayed there and held it open. So what happened is that imagine an earth originally created where mother and father decide they wish to create their children. On this earth, a projector of sorts, a tunnel, a time portal, a stargate is created on this earth. On the other side of the stargate, there is another earth. and with all its stars around it, all the sky around it, just like on this side. The Earth on this side projects the projector through the Stargate. That's how the other Earth is formed. A whole cycle of life takes place in that cosmos that is being projected by the projector on the original Earth. A whole other Earth is there, beings are born, Mother actually goes through the Stargate to the other side, and she takes up life on Earth and in that cosmos, and she attempts to create children that she can then make real, to refine life enough that she can then bring them home, back through the Stargate to the original space that she created. There was a cycle of life like that created, and it ended very, very dramatically and very cataclysmically. Mother basically took life form she felt was worthy. She went through the Stargate back to the original Earth. They changed the projector, they changed the Stargate, and they started over. So this whole big cycle of life had happened, didn't work out, and she took things of value with her, made another Stargate, and projected with the projector on this original Earth another cycle, and life began again. In February of 2008, I had uncovered that we had in October closed the fourth such cycle. And then when I started to look, I realized, wait a minute, this is just another large clover leaf. And so Mother at that time took the history of all of those clover leaves that we have lived, and beings were judged against that, whether they were life-enhancing enough to be or not. Now, a lot of life in the cosmos was lost at that time, but there was a wonderful thing that happened. You see, my brothers and sisters, the one thing that Mother has brought, with the exception of two or three, which she totally either eliminated or had to totally redo or cleanse, the one thing Mother has brought back to the projector room and back to another projection every time has been the sacred libraries, because it has been her way of having continuity. One such set of libraries that was phenomenal was the White Horse Libraries in Southern Africa. Mother sent me in there to translate their work, and they, once those libraries opened, there were beings pleading, going to the oracle saying, remember us, Mother must resurrect us. We lost a lot of beings at that time when Mother realized that she had to weigh the value of how life-enhancing someone is or not, whether they are worthy now of living in the Holy of Holies, her inner space, against all of those huge projection cycles that had all the clover leaves and everything else in it, all those multiple cycles. The huge cycles had to give the value of a being. So we lost them, but then we gained some, because there was beautiful species, all sorts of wonderful beings and races, humanoid races, that asked to be resurrected through the records of the Nanga of the White Horse Libraries. I remember that we had one of those brothers, Paul St. John, speak the Nanga language for us on the radio broadcast that we had a while ago. The Nanga were the keepers, and they started out many cycles ago, according to the records, calling themselves the Enga, E-N-G-A-A. But later, this group of humanoid beings, some of them were lost. To commemorate that, they changed their name to the Nga. They took the E away. And so the Nga had kept the records and the pedigrees and the genetic codes in these libraries for eons of existence for Mother to resurrect those species. So many more species across the cosmos were resurrected that would have, had they not been prematurely exterminated or somehow overlooked. When Mother brought things from one of those large cycles to the other, she resurrected them. We've got a similar thing happen in that we are losing some species on Earth, but we are resurrecting species that are ready for this higher order of life. And so a lot of very hostile species may not make it, and then others will be put in their place. We are entering a time of innocence. And we have spoken about that before. The main reason for that is that linear time is gone. When those massive cosmic strands that had clusters of cosmoses out there existed, the movement of cosmoses along the strands created the linear time. Mother has created a field of life and consolidated everything into one cosmos. Right now, my brothers and sisters, and this is actually new as of yesterday, right now, what does life exist of? It exists of Mother's physical body. It exists of her inner space, having a physical field, which is a hard thing to understand. I don't know what it is. It's brand new, but and the cosmos. And the cosmos is as purified as Mother's been able to get it up until this point. Outside of Mother, there is only mind at rest. There used to be essence. We spoke about it a while ago. I think about, you know, some of us, about eight shows ago, we spoke about this essence that lay around us. That's no more. And there were multiple reasons for that. Some of it has to do with the fact that Mother needs to be pulsing with someone. The essence was so overpolarized into beingness that it pushed Mother into too much doingness. Mother is now pulsing as an alternate pulse of proactivity and beingness or receptivity. She is now pulsing not with the essence outside us, but with the cosmos itself. And that way, more rest comes to her and more proactivity comes to the majority of the beings in the cosmos who are not that active. The more etheric realms, which is the vast majority of the cosmos, is actually overpolarized into beingness. They're the feminine pole. So the cosmos has become the feminine pole. Mother has become the more proactive pole, which we call the masculine positive pole. So this has changed, and life continues to become more and more refined, and ascension is happening, and therefore anything you might see today may simply not be there tomorrow. If it's obsolete, it will move to a higher pattern. Hold on lightly to your expectations, my brothers and sisters. Life is not going to change according to those prophecies that are floating around over email lists. Much love to you, and we'll talk again next week.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almin experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master and in addition continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Almin's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the Heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the Heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almeen's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, The Mystical World We Live In, with Almeen. Please join us again next week.